Savoloni in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport attorney Royal Alexander joining us. Royal, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Lewis.
This is Thomas.
It's the other one, Royal.
Thomas.
I know you hear Avalone, but
it's a fair assumption to make.
Okay, sorry, Thomas.
And he sounds exactly like Lewis, so he's easy to do. Royal, Supreme Court yesterday heard the case. Is there going to be more testimony on the Louisiana redistricting, or have they concluded the testimony and now taking it into consideration? What's this? Where are we on that?
A ton of material has been submitted at both from the parties and what we call amicus briefs, friends of court briefs. And so the Supreme Court, and this is the second briefing of this issue. It could have been decided a year ago, but the court wanted to hear whether or not specifically this map violated the 14th Amendment or the 15th Amendment. Of course, the 14th is equal protection. The 15th Amendment will prohibit denying the right to vote based on race. So the 15th Amendment is what gave rise to the Voting Rights Act. And it's really, there's a collision right now of two laws. One is a federal statute, the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. And the other is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And the reason there's a collision of the two laws is because the Voting Rights Act won't allow for the dilution, for the weakening of minority voting power. That's the Voting Rights Act. But the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause, says that may be, but you can't draw those districts based on race. So on the one hand, and so states like Louisiana, guys, get sued every time we have a census because Louisiana, like every state does, tries to abide by the Voting Rights Act. But when you do, you end up with a district like Congressman Cleo Field's district that starts outside of Baton Rouge, bounces over to outside of Lafayette, up to Shreveport, outside of Alexandria. It's almost like that Z district Mr. Fields had 30 years ago.
It looks like an F1 track if you look at it. I mean, it's just all over the place. They were even laughing at it on Fox News last night. Laura Ingraham had somebody on. They were talking about the Supreme Court hearing the case, and they brought up the district, and she goes, "Look at this district." It was embarrassing.
It was, and they've tried strenuously to argue. And again, our legislature passed that map, and you know our attorney general has an obligation to defend it, which she has done the whole time. If you look at that map, even if you now again, race can be a factor. Race just cannot be pretty much the only factor or the predominant factor. Race and people's demographics and whether or not you're agricultural or an oil and gas area or like those coal chemical plants on the Mississippi River. There's so many different interests in Louisiana to lump them together in that district that, you know, that they're laughing about, the one Mr. Fields is in. You really struggle to find another reason other than race, finding enough minority voters to justify it. Well, and I think that's what.
And they brought up an interesting point last night, Royal, talking to Royal Alexander, that Republican and Democrat doesn't always necessarily mean black and white.
It doesn't. And that's a form of racism itself.
Exactly.
And that point was made at oral arguments. Those are just, and our attorney general has argued, you know, five times herself before the United States Supreme Court, which I can't ever imagine doing. I think that would be awesome. The high point of an attorney's career to argue before the
right.
But but that's one of the points that always gets brought out. You're assuming that a group of a racial or a gender class all votes the same or thinks the same. And that's a form of racism itself. So but I love when Louisiana, it has a case, and occasionally we do, before the Supreme Court, this Calais case, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, Calais v. Louisiana. But the reason this is such a, really, it's going to be an historic case is because if what a lot of us suspect they're going to do, I think Chief Justice Roberts, he just wants to get out of the business of using race in anything, college admissions.
Hallelujah.
Congressional redistricting. He's made comments like, it's a sordid business, this divvying us up by race. It's a sordid business, divvying us up by race. A lot of people agree with that. And
then when you have comments by Justice Jackson, who was saying a black Democrat won't vote for a white candidate and white Democrats won't vote for a black Democrat candidate, it's like, seriously? You're actually saying that? Did Barack Obama get reelected and was president twice? Was that all nothing but black voters?
I was surprised by her questions, but in a way, I appreciate her honesty because I think that's how she thinks. But I disagree. I have people, we have white friends, Mike, who are Democrats and vote for the Democrat every single time. And I know I have good friends who vote for Republicans all the time who are black. You can't assume maybe like that. And I think it weakens the argument that and strengthens the argument that we need to do away with race totally. I mean, we've had it for 40 or 45 years now, back to the Bakke case in 1978, the original form of affirmative action in college admissions, and then it went to a number of different areas. But it's, and another thing Chief Justice Roberts said was, and think about the way he said this. He said, the way to stop discrimination in law is to stop discriminating in law. In other words, it just seems so simple.
It's very so, exactly.
And he said, we've had this in our country for a long time. Whatever the problem may have been 40 or 45 years ago in the United States, we've come a long way. At some point, there has to be set provision in this affirmative action or these racial preferences. At some point, we really have to just set in clause everyone. So what that would mean here, Mike, is you just have generally compact congressional districts. You don't have one like Congressman Fields. New Orleans is one chunk. The Baton Rouge area across. Lafayette is its own area. Every part of Louisiana is generally a compact congressional district.
Right. Royal, thank you so much. We appreciate your input.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710. Keep.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Mike and McCarty. Aaron, update. Oh, I miss Rush. Did you talk to her yesterday afternoon? I texted her. I mean, I didn't talk to her.
Yeah, I got the group texts is all I got.
Oh, grouped? I didn't get that.
Oh. Oh, you mean with the stuff for today? Anyways, what was your text about?
maybe I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. Yeah, just kind of an update on I'm surprised she's doing as well as she is.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
And for those listeners of the show, you probably do know she had a procedure on Wednesday.
Yes.
And so she, good gosh, was it Wednesday? She was already texting?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean right after the procedure. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Crystal, our dear friend Chica from K94.5, got up in the morning and brought her to the hospital. She was scheduled at 6:30, but then they bumped it to like 11:30. So,
man.
And then she was texting us that afternoon. Crazy.
Yeah. That afternoon, we were texting all morning yesterday, and then in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then yesterday morning, and so she seems to be doing well. Intentionally haven't gone by. Somebody that just gets out of surgery, I'm not going to go by.
There's no need to crowd
the room.
Just yet.
Yeah.
There's
no need. I wouldn't want a bunch of people coming by.
No.
So, For those that have asked, she seems to be doing very well. I will get in touch with her this weekend. I'm trying to just let her rest. I'm trying not to bother her.
Right. And then she starts messaging us work stuff.
Yes, I know. It's so crazy.
Wow.
Did you see this about the Bossier Parish Community College lockdown? Yes, we're working on it.
You see this about Chris Crackman? Yes. Go to sleep.
I know, right?
Rest. Already.
I love it. So I'm thinking she's going to be back sooner rather than later. Anything could happen, but I'm thinking she's missing it.
This is her room. We just exist.
I'm under no illusions. I've said it many times. I'm under no illusions. Absolutely, it's Aaron's world. We're all just living in it. So thanks for checking. And by the way, a good friend of mine is one of the deans out at Bossier Parish Community College. And I talked with him yesterday afternoon because I spoke with the Bossier City Police Public Information Officer. And later that morning and said, hey, have y'all found the guy? And he said, no, we're not yet. So They were still on lockdown, and I talked to my friend last night. I said, dude, did you ever get back to work? He goes, no. They kept it locked down.
Yeah, they kept the campus shut down for the rest of the day. They just went ahead and canceled all the classes.
He said, once it goes to around noon or so, he says, they just cancel the rest of the day.
Yeah, there's no point.
So they never even got back in. But they did get a message saying situation has been resolved. So everybody's scheduled to go back to work today.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm assuming they caught the guy. That would be what that means.
I haven't seen anything about that. I think what that means is they just cleared the campus. Because once they cleared the campus, I read somewhere that they had to shut down two more school campuses near BPSI because they were still looking for the guy.
Oh, wow.
That's all I know right now until Bossier Parish Bossier City Police otherwise.
Another good friend of mine is security out at Bossier Parish Community College. I'll touch base with him as well.
We'll figure it out.
We'll get the latest. Coming up tomorrow, there's an event called Black Dog October with the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana. And we got a dear friend, Katie McClure, going to be joining us, telling us what that's about and how you can help. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
What is Black Dog October, and why are black dogs like the last to be rescued or adopted? We'll answer those questions coming up. Katie McClure Maranto joining us right after the break. Mike and McCarty, she's with the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
710 Keel. Thomas Avalone, by the way, in studio for Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Haven't even said good morning yet.
No, not just yet.
Katie McClure Maranto.
Good morning.
I got that right this time.
I've known you
as McClure for so long.
I know
so.
It. That's totally fine. Good morning.
With the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana, which is has a very special place in my heart, as most people know.
As it should,
and
yes.
Absolutely. In fact, we just, my wife and I, adopted one of the long-term residents from the Humane Society.
I called her Jada Beta, and she was actually, I don't want to say this too loudly, but she was one of my favorites, and I'm just so pleased that she's with you. She was the greatest little girl, so I'm so happy that she's part of your family.
She's so sweet. It's still a work in progress because our dog that we got from the Caddo Animal Shelter, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but she was an adult already.
Of course.
So habits were established.
Habits
and she's
and
aggressive. And
there's probably some trauma there that we would never know about.
Right.
So, I mean, it's difficult, especially when you get an adult dog and you bring in a new one. So it definitely takes time.
See, when we brought kittens into the house, she was much more accepting and forgiving.
Yeah.
They were very, very tiny.
Yeah.
So they weren't a threat to her.
Exactly. Yeah. And Jada likes to be, you know, she's a little
she
bit of a diva sometimes. Yes, she does. So that'll sometimes take some of the attention, you know, but you give her all the sugars because I love her so much.
Oh, she's so sweet. She really is so sweet. Are you a dog person?
I am. I didn't grow up with a dog, but my wife and I got a English bulldog not long ago. After
goodness.
We got married 4 or 5 years back, and I'm a big fan.
All the wrinkles and
yes.
all the slobber.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
What's
so
his
much.
Name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Oh. It's a boy, and you named it Charlotte?
No, it's not a boy. It's a lady dog named Charlotte.
I love that.
Charlotte. A bulldog named Charlotte.
It's official. You know, she could run for office if she wants to. I love
right.
that.
My yes. wife went to Louisiana Tech, so of course they've got the Louisiana Bulldogs
awesome.
There. So that was always a life goal for her to own a bulldog.
Very cool.
I went to the Kilgore High School football game last weekend, and
yeah.
they're the Bulldogs.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's and they played Chapel Hill, who's also the Bulldogs.
Wow.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Okay, Black Dog October tomorrow
night. Yes. So
at Key Mexico.
Yeah, we kind of had to pivot there, and we are super grateful for Rodrigo and his team for
yes.
hosting us tomorrow. We are going to be set up pretty much on the patio area between Key Mexico and Nailbender.
Mm-hmm.
And so Federico, that's his business. We love both of them very much. And we're going to have our tent set up. There's going to be, we'll be showing off all of the raffle items that we've been trying to collect money for.
I saw the table.
We have awesome, I mean, this year we've really got some great baskets. And so that's what we've been doing for the last month is raising money for those. And you do not have to be present to win, but we'll have those. We'll have all of our swag, like our t-shirts and our keychains. And I mean, just homemade dog treats that I have to go make after I do this interview. And yeah, so it's going to be a really fun event. There's also going to be a dog costume contest with prizes. So if you have your fur baby and you want to bring them out, please do. And then also we're going to have a $10, if you can either eat the regular meal at Key Mexico, or we'll be offering tostadas for $10.
Okay.
So yeah, we would love for everybody to come
and that's
out.
As a fundraiser.
Absolutely. Yes. So the funds go back to us, to the dogs.
And so let's clarify, the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana operates solely on volunteers.
Yes.
And donations.
100%. And
there's nobody's on salary, nobody's.
No funding, no.
All the dog food, the vet bill,
yes.
I mean, everything.
And it averages $20,000 plus per month for us to take care of all of our dogs. I don't think people realize how much it is, but you know, we have dogs with special needs that have to have surgeries. A lot of them are on special foods. And we also, we try to do the best quality treats, food, everything. So it's a lot. It's a lot of money. And
Dr. Davis, our veterinarian.
Oh, he's amazing at Caddo Animal Clinic.
Yes,
and Airline Animal Hospital. Those are the two main ones that we use, mm-hmm. and we couldn't speak better about them. I mean, just a great team. And so, yes, so this is one of our big ways of raising money for these dogs.
So this is interesting to me, and I love your T-shirt.
Yeah,
a big black lab with a witch's hat.
Labracadabra.
Labracadabra.
Yes.
And it's an orange shirt, so it's so apropos.
Yes.
But the reason we're focusing on, and this is called Black Dog October, not
yes.
Black Dogtober.
Right. I mean, it kind of rolls off the tongue, however you want to say it. But yeah, we're trying to bring awareness for that.
That's interesting to me. Black dogs are slower to be adopted.
They get overlooked. And I think it's really just because to me, it doesn't make any sense because I don't care what color a dog is. If it's the
right.
personality, you know, I'll just take them all. I love them all. But
it's not like a truck. I'm not looking for a certain color.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But when you're looking at pictures per se, you know, like you're looking at a website, the features of other dogs that are maybe tan or light brown or whatever, those features are going to be shown a little bit more. And so people don't really, I guess it's just something that I don't know if it's just a mental block or what, but we try to bring awareness because there is no difference, and black dogs are just as awesome
it's not like they're more aggressive or
absolutely pink, purple, I don't care what color they are, I love them all. And we've got some great black dogs. I mean, we've got some Jersey Girl. She's about 5 months old.
Jersey Girl.
We've got Steve, who was just in a movie Monday. He is definitely a movie star.
You were telling me about that before we went on the air. They're shooting out at Camp Minden.
An independent project.
Netflix Films.
Yes. And they are, it was their very last shot, and they wanted a senior dog. And so they chose Steve, and I brought him out there, and he was the entire cast and crew came out. They're like, Steve's here, you know? It was just
what a
so
great name.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know, a great name for a dog.
And he was
Steve.
So happy, and he's listed on the credits, and it was amazing. So we've got famous dogs now, and
movie star dogs.
I know. It's
How
just
many
really
dogs
cool.
are there?
So we're pretty much at capacity, which is right at 50. And that includes some puppies. And, you know, we had beginning of this week, we went to rescue from the awesome people at Bossier Animal Control a little Shih Tzu mix that someone had locked in a kennel and thrown out at the mall in Bossier.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, and so she has scrapes.
Dogs are the best. People are the worst.
They are, and we don't deserve dogs. We're blessed to have them.
So if somebody's interested in one of the dogs, mm-hmm. what do they need to do, Katie Maranto?
So I like how you say that. So what you would do, you can always go to our website, which is hsnwla.com, kind of a mouthful.
Humane Society, Northwest Louisiana.
Yes. You'll notice our adopt tab has all of our dogs listed. You fill out an application. We vet you just to make sure you're a responsible pet owner. And then we will contact you, and you can set up a meet and greet or an outright adoption.
Very good.
So
thank you so much for coming out this morning,
getting
up early.
Yeah, I don't mind it for these babies. Absolutely.
I'll see you tomorrow at Black Dog October, Key Mexico, 5 to 8 p.m.
5 to 8, yes.
Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Wow, what a weekend coming up.
Oh,
what a weekend. My gosh. We've got Black Dog October.
Big day.
At Key Mexico, 5 to 8. It's Prize Fest weekend. Music Prize tonight.
There's so much to unpack with Prize Fest.
Film Prize tonight, today, and tomorrow. Music Prize tonight. So much going on.
I know. Keep you busy.
I know. So I'm very excited. LSU plays at 11. I don't like the 11 o'clock games, but I'll be watching.
Right. You prefer an evening game.
Love the Saturday night games.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing like being in Death Valley.
Right. It's an entire day
of rain.
Tailgating.
None. So, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. We gave kind of an update a little bit earlier. Aaron's doing great last report, so I'll stay in touch with her this weekend. And so, again, a little bit about you, because
yes.
you're Louis Avalone's brother.
That's what I'm told.
Our audience is very familiar with Louis.
Yes, of course.
And you work with the family business.
I do.
You had Maxcentric for a long time.
I did. That's probably where most people are used to finding me is with Maxcentric. We put a pin in that earlier in the year, and I've kind of returned to the family business, working alongside my brother there, and also helping out when I can with his and Steven's radio program, American yes. Ground Radio.
That's right. And Max, you guys did great work. I brought stuff to you. But Apple changed kind of the way they do support services, I think.
They did, and it was just over a period of maybe 4 or 5 years where things began to kind of spin out from having kind of a qualified network of what are called Apple authorized service providers to kind of facilitating more third-party kind mm-hmm. of non-authorized shops to do a lot of that work that, you know, in years past,
to get it done.
Or you would have to go to a place like MaxCentric. So right. So they kind of began to kind of spin out that model a little bit to folks that were not authorized. And then, of course, when you have an agreement with a national chain like a Best Buy that enters the picture, you find that, you know, small businesses like a MaxCentric become less part of their strategy moving forward. So it's just one of those things where industries change and you have to make the best decisions you can with respect to making a living and supporting a family. And
Gotta do what a man gotta do.
That's correct.
Absolutely. That's correct. Chris Crackman, Caddo Parish Commissioner, going to be joining us coming up after the news, top of the hour. He's had a lawsuit against him. Judge dropped it. But he's got to be a happy man, a better weekend coming up. We'll talk with him after the news. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Ruben in studio. Thank goodness. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. At 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Caddo Parish Commissioner Chris Crackman joining us. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
How are y'all, Mike and Thomas?
Doing well. Good morning, Chris.
We're doing very well. Thank you, sir. It's got to be a little bit a brighter, sunshiny day for you. The judge has dismissed the lawsuit against you.
Absolutely. But first and foremost, and I might be going way too far out on a limb here, and I hope nobody files suit against me, but I want to make something very clear. Thomas is the brother that Lewis sounds like.
Oh, goodness. Wow, that's a hot take.
So I made a mistake when I said Lewis.
You can take that to the court and see how it comes out, but I just wanted to make that very clear.
You know, I really like Chris Crackman, I have to say.
Are you older or is Lewis older?
Lewis is older.
Oh, okay. Well, then that might punch a hole in that argument.
I mean, I'm not talking about the details. I mean, we can sort that out later. But
it's not important. I think we got the spirit of your comment, and it's Chris, well appreciated.
Chris, well, first of all, congratulations on the decision. But tell us how this lawsuit came about and what happened.
Well, you know, we had a 2% sales tax increase at a truck stop in Houston that I was thoroughly against.
Mm-hmm.
And in short terms, I rallied against it. And then, you know, there was an ICE raid at the truck stop and all sorts of other, you know, alleged things. And I tried to bring some of those things to light. And the day after the 2% sales tax was passed without my support, you know, I came on this show and tried to make it clear why I was against it. The questions.
And it's in your district, by the way.
Correct. And I just tried to bring a little bit of clarity to what was going on. And for the things I said, I was sued.
Now, there were allegations that the illegal immigrants were working at the truck stop. Am I remembering that correctly?
Correct. And you know, that wasn't And I don't think a lot of people realize it. You know, everybody acts like I came out of the woodworks with some kind of, you know, prolific information, but that wasn't anything that I ever said. That actually came from the Department of Homeland Security, or excuse me, the governor's Homeland Security, GOSEP. That came from the chairman of GOSEP and GOSEP member, State Representative Danny McCormick. So that wasn't anything I ever said. Mm-hmm. All I ever did was brought forward what they said about it. And so, and which is still a thing, by the way, you know, that's still something that I received. That's still a letter that all of us commissioners saw and is on the record.
About the illegal immigrants?
That's correct.
Okay. So the lawsuit was filed by the owners of the truck stop, correct?
Right. That's correct.
The TA truck stop in Houston. And so how did you hear about the judge? Were you there when the judge made the decision?
No, I wasn't. It was something that had been being talked about since late last week about the plaintiffs dropping the case. And whether or not I would accept, I think initially, I think a settlement was sought, you know, for me to give an apology. And I think anybody that knows me for more than 2 days knows that that's never going to happen. And until eventually, you know, the plaintiffs, they elected to drop the case, and which I'm very grateful for. However, I think there's a lot of constituents that would like to have known how the story was going to end. But my pocketbook wasn't very excited about it.
Now, Chris, I do have a question with respect to that. An important component of this has been, of course, your legal fees. My understanding is a decision was made by the commission not to to cover those fees on your behalf. There was some notion that when those comments were made, you were working outside your role as a Caddo commissioner and you were, you know, had to raise those funds privately. Is that still an open issue with respect to now that the case has been dismissed, as far as you being able to get some recompense for the money that you had to pay in your defense?
Yeah, it is, and I'm still asking for relief by the Parish Commission. Unfortunately, I was denied merely immediately for my attorney's fees, which is unfortunate. However, you know, I've been asking for donations to my legal funds, to the Crack Pack, which I'm not a member of, but that's who's taking care of my legal fees. And thus far, it's worked out pretty well. The majority of the fees have been covered. And it's one of those deals where, and I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, is, you know, do I really want the taxpayers to pay for a legal issue that their commission didn't ask for, that their commissioner didn't mm-hmm. ask for?
Sure.
And so it kind of puts me in a tight spot, even though, you know, the seven Democrats on the commission are having their legal fees completely funded by your tax dollars, although the attorney general has recommended we not pay for their legal fees. So it kind of puts me in a tight spot, and I really hate to ask, you know, Parish Legal to even think about spending our tax dollars in that manner. And so I kind of go back and forth on it, to be honest. So you know, for now, I'm still asking for donations to wrap this thing up on what's owed. And listen, Steve Gillay and Harbison Medlock in New Orleans, they did a beautiful job on this case, because any other case that I've seen that looks anything similar to this dragged out for years.
Right.
Well, good news that this has been resolved, and we appreciate you jumping on with us, Chris. I hope you have a great weekend now.
Well, if I could, I just want to throw this out there for my constituents and citizens just in general abroad,
mm-hmm.
is think about this. This case lasted a matter of months. It lasted 5 to 6 months, however long. I'm not going to say anything, but I do want constituents and citizens of Caddo Parish to ask themselves, why would they drop this case so quickly? If I was so guilty and I was so frivolous with my comments, why would they drop this case so quickly? You do the digging, and I'll just be happy that it's gone.
All right, Chris, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank y'all. Y'all too.
All right, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. By the way, coming up, Barksdale Air Force Base B-52s in action right now. We'll talk about that next.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, if you've watched any news lately, you've seen these videos of these airstrikes on these drug boats.
Yes.
It's pretty incredible.
Yes. Yes, I saw. Had a news story come across my social media last night. I thought it was a local story initially, but then I saw it was ABC News, and it had mentioned that there were three B-52 bombers mm-hmm. out of Barksdale Air Force Base that participated in, was it a strike or was it just, I suppose they don't send those out just to take a looky-loo.
Right. President Trump is saying that Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, he's really just a shill for the cartels.
Right.
And he's, I honestly don't know a lot about Maduro.
Right.
But apparently what I have learned is he's not a good person. He's not a very nice man.
Does not have a very good reputation.
No.
On the global stage.
And Trump has acknowledged that there are covert operations going on against the cartels in Venezuela trying to stem the flow of illegal drugs coming into our country.
Well, sure. I think that he may have designated them a terrorist organization, which makes a strike like this
narco-terrorists
possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you've seen the videos of these strikes on these drug boats. It's amazing.
They mean business.
And there's no telling how high up that video is being taken from.
Right.
It's pretty incredible. But we did see that three B-50. I love seeing those B-52s with the big L.A. on the tail.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So cool.
I wonder if there's a moment when you're on that boat and you look up, if maybe you can see those boats from where planes from where you're standing, and you do any sort of introspection or thought as to your decision making that got you to that point.
Right. So Bunny 1, Bunny 2, and Bunny 3
nice.
Are the three B-52s call signs that some of these sites are tracking their movements, which is a little bit disturbing in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but it's always a source of pride to see the good work that the folks at Barksdale Air Force Base are doing, and for them to get to get a shout out like that.
The U.S. is doing a U.S. military buildup in the region. 10 Marine Corps F-35Bs, the drones, AV-8 Harrier fighter jet. I mean, there's and 10,000 troops
right
to the Caribbean
or
Caribbean, however you would say. So it Trump's taking it seriously.
Well, I think like a lot of things, once a decision is made to tackle a problem with this president, it doesn't take long to see some sort of action. So
we talked about just such a busy weekend. We talked to Katie Maranto a little bit earlier from the Humane Society, Black Dog October. A fundraiser for the Humane Society is Saturday at Key Mexico, 5 p.m. The film prize and music prize tonight.
Wow.
And we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Don't forget the Mud Bugs.
Oh, there's the Mud Bugs also.
Mud Bugs home this weekend.
Well, so, you know, there's that old saying that the, those folks that say there's nothing to do in Shreveport, they just maybe need to take a closer look.
You know, we've heard the phrase cave people. Have you heard that?
I have heard this
citizens
this term.
Against virtually everything.
I think we have a fair share of those out there. They're not always in their caves.
Right. Speaking of, we spoke with Gregory Kallenberg earlier about Film Prize and Music Prize, Prize Fest weekend, such an incredible event that that he's brought to the area. And we'll hear that conversation coming up in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Prize Fest weekend. We spoke with Gregory Kallenberg earlier this week, or it may have been last week, talking about this exciting weekend. We'll hear from him coming up after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, we have some technical difficulties with our interview with Gregory, but we know we know about Prize Fest.
Oh, sure,
ain't live weekend. Radio fun.
I know, right? And yeah, this is not tracked. This is not recorded. This is live radio. But it's a huge weekend, and you said you volunteered as well. My wife
sure.
and I have volunteered in the past as well. Because it's just, it's an incredible, if you might think, well, I don't care about that. If you haven't experienced just the atmosphere of going down on Texas Street.
Oh, it's such a positive energy. And one of the things I've always appreciated about that is that it, you know, in times when we tend to focus a bit intensely on what might make us different. Prize Fest has always been one of those events and weekends where people come together. It's in downtown Shreveport for the most part, and people are just having a good time supporting the community, supporting the filmmakers, seeing the films. Of course, you know, it's grown beyond Film Prize.
It started as Film Prize.
Right, into Prize Fest now. So there's so many components to it now from film to music to they have something called Startup Prize. They have a photography competition. They're branching out into comedy and
Food Prize.
Just a phenomenal event that I would put right up there with, you know, events like the Red River Revel and Mudbug Madness. And, you know, I believe that they are now on their, I want to say 12th year. It's something like that. I think I remember going to Film Prize as far back as 2012, I think may have been the first year.
But, I was trying to remember. Yeah. Gregory Kallenberg, I think, was the kind of the brain trust behind all of this.
Oh, for sure.
And started with, I think it's the world's largest grand prize for an independent film competition.
To my understanding, for an independent short film competition, you're not going to find many $50,000 grand prizes.
Right. And filmmakers from really all over the world come to Louisiana, and
sure.
even more specifically Shreveport and Caddo Parish in our area, and if they film in this area, they're eligible for that $50,000 prize.
Right. They have had eligibility zones, basically, where you film in the, you know, I believe it's, it, you know, you're filming in the Shreveport area, and then I think that area has branched out over the years as far as where you might have to shoot that film in order to be eligible. And, you know, one of the fun things about Film Prize over the years is that in these short films, you know, from time to time, you will find some notable actors that appear and have been here in town. I know way back in 2015 as a as a Star Wars geek, the young lady. And when I say young lady, I'm thinking under 10 at that time, who played young Rey in The Force Awakens, appeared in one of the short films. We've had, you know, there have been several others over the years that were names or went on to be big names. So it's always been a lot of fun and one of the events that I look forward to every year.
Tamsin, I forget what her name, she was a British actress.
Right.
That was filming... What were they, what was, Ruben, what was that they were filming out there? The Salem.
Salem, yeah.
Oh, sure.
And she was here, and I auditioned for a short film that she was doing.
Uh-huh.
And I auditioned with Lucy Lawless.
Right, yeah.
For crying out loud.
Right, to be in a film, to be entered into film prize.
Yes.
Right.
She was doing a film prize short film.
Sure.
And there's a lot that goes into casting. And I didn't, I just wasn't right for that particular role.
I find that hard to believe, Mike.
But, well.
Don't come in here with that.
Longer story later. But I kept reading with this girl. There was a young lady, and she was at the table, and she was real small, very pretty.
Uh-huh.
Of course, she talked like this, you know, and we're going to go, this is what we're looking for. And blah, blah, blah. And I kept going, I know her. I did not recognize Xena, Warrior Princess.
Right.
I didn't recognize her. And I watched Parks and Rec, and she played Ron Swanson's wife on Parks and Rec, and she looked normal in that, but she's much tinier than you think.
You hear that a lot about folks on movies and TV.
I got out and I went, who is that? Who is... You know, that's Lucy Lawless. I said, you've got to be kidding me.
Xena, Warrior Princess.
Like an idiot.
Right across from you.
I got to meet her while she was in town. One of the sweetest human beings.
Very sweet.
I did also. I actually have a photo with her on my Instagram, probably, if I go back far enough.
And I'm just realizing that I've been in a short film that was put in to film prize, and my band was runner-up last year in music prize.
Well, there you go.
Wow. I just remember.
Real, that's
and,
right.
And unfortunately, the film prize movie that I was in, I fit the bill. Me and my bandmates were all in the scene, and we fit the bill perfectly as dirt bags in the strip club.
It was a role you were born to play.
It really was.
Well, two of my short films are available on Amazon.
Really?
You can go to Amazon. Yeah. That was kind of cool.
And that is one of the you know, benefits of participating in film prizes, that they really do help you get your film out there, whether you won something or not. A lot of the prizes, I think, also kind of revolve around getting you distribution deals, getting you in streaming. So they do a great job.
Prize Fest this weekend, along with a lot of other stuff. Thomas Avalonian for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
Well, amongst all the events going on this weekend, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty. Apparently, the No Kings rally.
Right.
And there's going to be a version in Shreveport.
Really?
Yeah.
We did this already.
Yeah, we did
it before. In 1776. We already had a pretty big, successful No Kings rally. And whoever is organizing this current wave, I would like to congratulate them on their continued good work, because we still have no kings.
Yeah.
So they can just maybe kick their feet up and just kind of.
There's apparently going to be about 2,000 demonstrations across all 50 states, as well as Canada and Mexico. This just.
Right.
The TDS. Is fascinating to me.
Yep.
It really is fascinating to me.
Yep.
No Kings protests. Organizations include the ACLU, American Federation of Teachers. Remember when, during the election on Trump's second term, during the campaign, if Trump got elected, he's going to lead us into World War III.
I remember something to that effect.
And basically... Well, let's see. In less than a year, in what, 9 months, he's brokered, what is it, 9 peace deals?
Been at least
a including few. Peace in the Middle East now.
Right. So
now, historically, that is a tenuous position,
sure.
Peace in the Middle East,
sure.
Looking at Israel and the Palestinians, which goes back to biblical times.
Right. It's not something that gets sorted out overnight, but they've
right.
made great strides.
But the fact that he got our hostages back and the
right.
fact that we're at this point.
That's true.
And I mean,
that was
remarkable.
That was something they were saying way back in 2016, is that, you know, with his temperament, he's going to get us in all sorts of trouble around the world, which,
right.
of course, the opposite has proven to be the case. This is a president that is not looking to get involved in, as he has called it, forever wars, or, you know, obviously a big pillar of his campaign and the reason that he has won 2 elections is America first and keeping the focus there
exactly.
and on our national interests. So if this sort of thing helps these folks in some way to feel engaged and
I guess I just don't get it.
I
just don't get it.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm not sure.
I can understand people, especially in the first term, all of his tweets.
Right.
And he can tend to be a little immature.
Well, I think that, like you and I were talking about yesterday, I think that he has decided that certain things are going to be said about him either way. And so he whether you want to call it trolling, I prefer to call it he leans in. You know, these folks have these expectations about me, so...
Yeah.
So what am I going to do?
I'm going to
print up merch about running for a third term because they're going to say that I'm running for a third term anyway. So, you know,
right.
I think
yeah.
that he engages his political opponents in a very non-traditional way. But I think it's probably for the times that we're living in. I mean, you can't argue with the results that he's gotten.
Well, if you want to participate, apparently there's going to be one in Shreveport this weekend.
Where?
I don't get it. I don't know. And I don't even.
There's just so much already
care.
Happening downtown.
Yeah.
Where will they find the room to talk
probably
to folks
in front
about
of the courthouse?
No Kings.
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. Yeah, good luck. More power to you. Coming up, Chris Crackman, County Parish Commissioner, spoke with us about the lawsuit that was against him that has been dropped. Find out more after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com. FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish Commissioner Chris Crackman joining us. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
How are y'all, Mike and Thomas?
Doing well. Good morning, Chris.
We're doing very well, thank you, sir. It's got to be a little bit a brighter, sunshiny day for you. The judge has dismissed the lawsuit against you.
Absolutely, but first and foremost, and I might be going way too far out on a limb here, and I hope nobody files suit against me, but I want to make something very clear. Thomas is the brother that Lewis sounds like.
Oh, goodness. Wow, that's a hot take.
So I made a mistake when I said Lewis.
You can take that to the court and see how it comes out, but I just wanted to make that very clear.
You know, I really like Chris Crackman, I have to say.
Are you older or is Lewis older?
Lewis is older.
Oh, okay. Well, then that might punch a hole in that argument.
I mean, I'm not talking about the details. I mean, we can sort that
right.
out later. But
it's not important. I think we got the spirit of your comment, and it's
Chris,
well appreciated.
Chris, well, first of all, congratulations on the decision. But tell us how this lawsuit came about and what happened.
Well, you know, we had a 2% sales tax increase at a truck stop in Houston that I was thoroughly against.
Mm-hmm.
And in short terms, I rallied against it. And then, you know, there was an ICE raid at the truck stop and all sorts of other, you know, alleged things. And I tried to bring some of those things to light. And the day after the 2% sales tax was passed without my support, you know, I came on this show and tried to make it clear why I was against it. The questions
that And it's in your district, by the way.
Correct. And I just tried to bring a little bit of clarity to what was going on. And for the things I said, I was sued.
Now, there were allegations that the illegal immigrants were working at the truck stop. Am I remembering that correctly?
Correct. And you know, that wasn't, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. You know, everybody acts like I you know, came out of the woodworks with some kind of, you know, prolific information, but that wasn't anything that I ever said. That actually came from the Department of Homeland Security, or excuse me, the governor's Homeland Security, GOSEP. That came from the chairman of GOSEP and GOSEP member, State Representative Danny McCormick. So that wasn't anything I ever said. Mm-hmm. All I ever did was brought forward what they said about it. And so, and which is still a thing, by the way. You know, that's still something that I received. That's still a letter that all of us commissioners saw and is on the record.
About the illegal immigrants?
That's correct.
Okay. So the lawsuit was filed by the owners of the truck stop, correct?
Right. That's correct.
The TA truck stop in Houston. And so how did you hear about the judge? Were you there when the judge made the decision?
No, I wasn't. It was something that had been being talked about since late last week about the plaintiffs dropping the case and whether or not I would accept. I think initially, I think a settlement was sought, you know, for me to give an apology. And I think anybody that knows me for more than 2 days knows that that's never going to happen. And until eventually, you know, the plaintiffs, they elected to drop the case, and which I'm very grateful for. However, I think there's a lot of constituents that would like to have known how this is going to end. But my pocketbook wasn't very excited about it.
Now, Chris, I do have a question with respect to that. An important component of this has been, of course, your legal fees. My understanding is a decision was made by the commission not to to cover those fees on your behalf. There was some notion that when those comments were made, you were working outside your role as a Caddo commissioner and you were, you know, had to raise those funds privately. Is that still an open issue with respect to now that the case has been dismissed, as far as you being able to get some recompense for the money that you had to pay in your defense?
Yeah, it is, and I'm still asking for relief by the Parish Commission. Unfortunately, I was denied merely immediately for my attorney's fees, which is unfortunate. However, you know, I've been asking for donations to my legal funds, to the Crack Pack, which I'm not a member of, but that's who's taking care of my legal fees. And thus far, it's worked out pretty well. The majority of the fees have been covered. And it's one of those deals where, and I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, is, you know, do I really want the taxpayers to pay for a legal issue that their commission didn't ask for, that their commissioner didn't mm-hmm. ask for?
Sure.
And so it kind of puts me in a tight spot, even though, you know, the seven Democrats on the commission are having their legal fees completely funded by your tax dollars, although the attorney general has recommended we not pay for their legal fees. So it kind of puts me in a tight spot, and I really hate to ask it's legal to even think about spending our tax dollars in that manner. And so I kind of go back and forth on it, to be honest. So you know, for now, I'm still asking for donations to wrap this thing up on what's owed. And listen, Steve Gillet and Harbison Medlock in New Orleans, they did a beautiful job on this case, because any other case that I've seen that looks anything similar to this drags out for years.
Right.
Well, good news that that this has been resolved, and we appreciate you jumping on with us, Chris. I hope you have a great weekend now.
Well, if I could, I just want to throw this out there for my constituents and citizens just in general abroad,
mm-hmm.
is think about this. This case lasted a matter of months. It lasted 5 to 6 months, however long. I'm not going to say anything, but I do want constituents and citizens of Caddo Parish to ask themselves, why would they drop this case so quickly? If I was so guilty and I was so frivolous with my comments, why would they drop this case so quickly? You do the digging, and I'll just be happy that it's gone.
All right, Chris, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank y'all. Y'all too.
All right, 101.7 FM, 710.
Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So when we say, by the way, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, when we say, okay, kicking off the holidays.
Yep, that is the thing we say.
Does Halloween officially start that season?
I would
or
say
is,
so.
Is it Thanksgiving?
You know, I don't know if it's, I think that I've always thought about Halloween as being the kickoff to the holiday season.
Really?
I think particularly since having children, because there's so much that goes into getting them prepared for Halloween.
Now this is perfect, because I was just looking at a study that which American demographic spends the most on Halloween. Now, you've got two small children.
Okay, so
what generation are you?
Well, I'm technically Generation X. I prefer to be called a Zennial because it makes me sound younger. It's kind of this slice between Generation X
okay.
and Millennials. You know, being born in the very late 70s, you get lumped in with folks that were born, you know,
okay.
kind of early to mid 60s, which is just fine. But I prefer the term, as far as if you're asking me what I identify as. I would go with the Zennial, although my wife feels that it's a silly term. So Generation X. But I also arrived to the parent party a little later in life. Not okay. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino later in life, but
Pablo Picasso later in life.
Later. I don't have a 38-year-old in the house the way Ruben does. So it was just a little bit later in life.
Okay.
But two small children, to answer your question.
But they're old enough, at least one is old enough to recognize Halloween.
Sure.
And know what it's about.
Yeah. I think we're about there where he's excited.
So are you buying costumes and...
We did. I mean, we've been buying costumes since the youngest was 2 months old or less than
right.
2 months old. But no, it doesn't surprise me to learn that people drop a chunk of change on Halloween.
The average American, just the average American, plans to spend close to $300.
Wow.
Now, that's the average.
You know, Mike, so, what,
now
those,
that means somebody's
terrorists.
Spending a whole lot more than me,
right?
Because I may drop $20
right.
on a bag of candy,
right?
But I won't even do that this year because we're not going to be home,
right?
So that $300 includes candy, costumes, decor,
sure,
and entertainment. Now that's just the average American. If you start breaking it down by generations, millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is that? I can't keep up.
I think millennials are probably in their late 30s at this point in time.
Ruben, are you?
I am an elder millennial, yes.
An elder millennial.
Oh, goodness. See, Ruben went the other way. I'm trying to sound younger.
So they're about $522.
Wow.
With Gen Zs mm-hmm. averaging around $435.
Wow. Gen Z. And what is the age group of Gen Z?
I'm terrible at that.
Is this a generation that is? I mean, they're
what
old
is that,
enough
Ruben?
To have.
It's the darn kids.
These darn kids, even darn these kids. Young kids without kids, they're spending all this money on candy.
So you're
and costumes.
Considered millennial then?
Yeah, Yeah.
I guess that would be my kids. Right. My kids are right. Millennials.
Yeah. We came of age when the millennium happened, the new millennium.
Oh, I see. Really? Oh, you came of age at that point.
We grew up in between the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah.
We were children in the 2000s and or in the 90s and then teenagers in the 2000s.
Because Aaron and I, we're at the end of the boomers.
Right.
We're the late end of the boomers, but still classified boomer.
Right.
So I don't see where we're spending anything.
Well, you know, Halloween. I mean, prices, you know, with, you know, prices that have been trending upward, you know, I think we've seen the pressure come off of that a little bit since this new president entered office. But between, you know, those prices and, you know, maybe perhaps a lot of these Halloween costumes are, I mean, there's no perhaps about it. They're made overseas. So maybe of these tariffs might be putting some upward pressure on those prices. But the fact that people spend money on Halloween, that's not a surprise.
Around $33 on pet costumes. Speaking of pet costumes, Black Dog October is tomorrow. It's a fundraiser for the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana. We spoke with Katie Maranto, one of the directors at the Humane Society, and we'll hear from her right after the news, bottom of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, amongst all the things going on this weekend, Mudbugs in town, Prize Fest going on this weekend, there's one event that if you're looking for a new furry family member for your home, I thought it was interesting. Black dogs are some of the last to become adopted.
That's what she was telling us.
That's crazy. Katie Maranto is one of the directors at the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana. Explains that right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Thomas Avalonian for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
And 10 Keel. Thomas Avalone, by the way, in studio for good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Haven't even said good morning yet.
No, not just yet.
Katie McClure Maranto.
Good morning.
I got that right this time.
I've known you
as McClure for so long.
I know
so.
It. That's totally fine. Good morning.
With the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana, which is has a very special place in my heart, as most people know.
As it should,
and
yes.
Absolutely. In fact, we just, my wife and I, adopted one of the long-term residents from the Humane Society.
I called her Jada Beta, and she was actually, I don't want to say this too loudly, but she was one of my favorites, and I'm just so pleased that she's with you. She was the greatest little girl, so I'm so happy that she's part of your family.
So sweet. It's still a work in progress because our dog that we got from the Caddo Animal Shelter, and I'm not saying it's their fault, but she was an adult already.
Of course.
So habits were established.
Habits
and she's aggressive. And
there's probably some trauma there that we would never know about.
Right.
So, I mean, it's difficult, especially when you get an adult dog and you bring in a new one. So it definitely takes time.
See, when we brought kittens into the house, she was much more accepting and forgiving.
Yeah.
They were very, very tiny.
Yeah.
So they weren't a threat to her.
Exactly. Yeah. And Jada likes to be, you know, she's a little bit of a diva sometimes. Yes, she does. So that'll sometimes take some of the attention, you know, but you give her all the sugars because I love her so much.
Oh, she's so sweet. She really is so sweet. Are you a dog person?
I am. I didn't grow up with a dog, but my wife and I, English bulldog, not long after we got married 4 or 5 years back, and I'm a big fan.
All the wrinkles and yes. all the slobber. Yes. Oh, I love it.
What's his name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Oh. It's a boy, and you named it Charlotte.
Boy. It's a lady dog.
Named Charlotte. I love that.
Charlotte, a bulldog named Charlotte.
It's official. You know, she could run for office if she wants to. I love
right.
that.
My yes. wife went to Louisiana Tech, so of course they've got the Louisiana Bulldogs awesome. There. So that was always it was a life goal for her to own a bulldog.
Very cool.
I went to the Kilgore High School football game last weekend, and yeah. they're the Bulldogs.
That's right. Yeah.
So and they played Chapel Hill, who's also the Bulldogs. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Okay, Black Dog October tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, yes. So
at Key Mexico.
Key Mexico, yeah. We kind of had to pivot there, and we are super grateful for Rodrigo and his team for yes. hosting us tomorrow. We are going to be set up pretty much on the patio area between Key Mexico and Nailbender. Mm-hmm. And so Federico, that's his business. We love both of them very much. And we're going to have our tent set up. There's going to be, we'll be showing off all of the raffle items that we've been trying to collect money for.
I saw the table.
We have awesome, I mean, this year we've really got some great baskets. And so that's what we've been doing for the last month is raising money for those. And you do not have to be present to win, but we'll have those. We'll have all of our swag, like our t-shirts and our keychains and, I mean, just homemade dog treats that I have to go make after I do this interview. And, yeah, so it's going to be a really fun event. There's also going to be a dog costume contest with prizes. So if you have your fur baby and you want to bring them out, please do. And then also we're going to have a $10. If you can either eat the regular meal at Key Mexico, or we'll be offering tostadas for $10.
Okay.
So, yeah, we would love for everybody to come
and
out.
As a fundraiser.
Absolutely, yes. So the funds go back to us, to the dogs.
And so let's clarify, the Humane Society of Louisiana operates solely on volunteers.
Yes.
And donations.
100%. And
there's nobody's on salary. Nobody's.
No funding. No.
All the dog food, the vet bill. Yes. I mean, everything.
And it averages $20,000 plus per month for us to take care of all of our dogs. I don't think people realize how much it is, but, you know, we have dogs with special needs. They have to have surgeries. A lot of them are on special foods. And we also, we try to do the best quality treats, food, everything. So it's a lot. It's a lot of money. And
Dr. Davis, our veterinarian.
Oh, he's amazing at Caddo Animal Clinic.
Yes,
and Airline Animal Hospital. Those are the two main ones that we use, mm-hmm. and we couldn't speak better about them. I mean, just a great team. And so, yes, so this is one of our big ways of raising money for these dogs.
So this is interesting to me, and I love your t-shirt.
Yeah,
a big black lab with a witch's hat.
Labracadabra.
Labracadabra.
Yes.
And it's an orange shirt, so it's so apropos.
Yes.
But the reason we're focusing on, and this is called Black Dog October, not yes. Black Dogtober.
Right. I mean, it kind of rolls off the tongue, however you want to say it. But yeah, we're trying to bring awareness for that.
That's interesting to me. Black dogs are slower to be adopted.
They get overlooked. And I think it's really just because to me, it doesn't make any sense because I don't care what color a dog is. If it's the
right.
personality, you
no,
know, I'll just
yeah.
take them all. I love them all. But
it's not like a truck. I'm not looking for a certain color.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But when you're looking at pictures per se, you know, like you're looking at a website, the features of other dogs that are maybe tan or light brown or whatever, those features are going to be shown a little bit more. And so people don't really, I guess it's just something that I don't know if it's just a mental block or what. But we try to bring awareness because there is no difference. And black dogs are just as awesome
it's not like they're more aggressive. Or
absolutely
they're,
not. No.
There's no.
No. Pink, purple. I don't care what color they are. I love them all. And we've got some great black dogs. I mean, we've got some Jersey girl. She's about 5 months old.
Jersey girl.
We've got Stitch just in a movie Monday. He is definitely a movie star.
You were telling me about that before we went on the air. They're shooting out at Camp Minden.
There's an independent project.
Netflix Films.
Yes. And they are, it was their very last shot and they wanted a senior dog. And so they chose Steve, and I brought him out there, and he was the number, the entire cast and crew came out. They're like, Steve's here, you know. It was just
what a
so
great name.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know, a great name for a dog.
And he was
Steve.
So happy, and he's listed on the credits, and it was just, it was amazing. So we've got famous dogs now, and
movie star dogs.
I know. It's
how
just
many
really
dogs
cool.
are there?
So we right now we're pretty much at capacity, which is right at 50. And that includes some puppies. And, you know, we had beginning of this week, we went to rescue from the awesome people at Bossier Animal Control, a little Shih Tzu mix that someone had locked in a kennel and thrown out at the mall in Bossier.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, and so she has scrapes.
Dogs are the best. People are the worst.
They are, and we don't deserve dogs. We're blessed to have them.
So if somebody's interested in one of the dogs, mm-hmm. what do they need to do, Katie Maranto?
So what you would do, you can always go to our website, which is hsnwla.com, kind of a mouthful.
Humane Society, Northwest Louisiana.
Yes. You'll notice our adopt tab has all of our dogs listed. You fill out an application. We vet you just to make sure you're a responsible pet owner. And then we will contact you and you can set up a meet and greet or an outright adoption.
Very good.
So
thank you so much for coming out this morning.
So
getting
much.
Up early.
Yeah, I don't mind
and
it
I'll
for
see
these
you tomorrow.
Babies. Absolutely.
I'll see you tomorrow at
thank
Black
you.
Dog October, Key Mexico, 5 to 8 p.m.
5 to 8, yes.
Micah McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You know, with film prize going on, we talked a little bit earlier about, like, meeting some of the celebrities, if you will.
Right.
And Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. You had Maccentric for years.
Correct.
The Apple Service Center.
Correct.
You had a kind of an interesting experience. I don't know if you want to share.
Absolutely.
But I mean, got called to a film set.
We did. Way back in the day, I think it was 2008, we had a customer, God rest his soul, known as Val Kilmer, who had a MacBook Pro with a hard drive that had failed on him. And he wasn't really concerned about cost. He just wanted it done now. And I say that because his laptop at the time was under warranty. He said, I'm not worried about warranty. I'm not looking to wait on a part to show up. Just do what needs to happen.
She said, yeah, it's under warranty and I can order this hard drive and
right,
get it
under
like,
right,
next
under
day.
Warranty. It'll be here tomorrow.
Right.
It won't cost you a dime. And he said, I'm not concerned about all that. I just need it done today. And I want to make sure that I don't lose any of the information on the hard drive. So his parameters for us servicing this laptop was to not leave the trailer with the laptop. The repair had to be performed on site as well as the data recovery where data recovery is one of those things when you're working with a faulty hard drive, it can take hours to spin that data off of off of a faulty drive. So we hung at, we were there for the better part of a day and I think into the next really, kind of getting him squared away. We also had the opportunity to do work for Kate Bosworth. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was Lois Lane in Superman Returns.
Okay.
She
probably
was in
know
town
her if I saw her
shooting a movie and we had repaired her laptop. And then back during the time when I left the house and went out, I ran into her downtown at Stray Cat and just mentioned to her, hey, we had your laptop in our shop this week and hope it's working well. And she was super gracious and nice and was willing to indulge my geekdom by talking to me about Superman and that experience. So,
right.
You know, there was a time like we were talking about, it wasn't uncommon to run into, you know, actors and movie stars, just around town.
When I was at Channel 3, Ruben and you, I got a question for you. I know he's over there working. But one of the ladies that works like in accounting at Channel 3 came back from lunch and she goes, I just saw Kevin Costner at Outback.
Right? Oh, wow, you don't hear that every day.
I know.
He's enjoying a blooming onion.
Yeah.
Now, is Stray Cat still around? Are they still open?
I think they might be. It's been so long since I've ventured downtown for any sort of merrymaking.
But they said Gerard Butler hung out there all the time.
Gerard Butler.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, it was outside Stray Cat that Josh Brolin got to meet Shreveport's Finest. I don't know if you recall that.
I remember something about that.
So, yeah, there was a time it was a real hopping place for making film.
It was, as an actor, mm-hmm. it was very fun.
I bet.
It was very fun. I got to, and of course, I was doing freelance voiceover work, so I worked for myself.
Right.
And so when I had a casting director call me and go, hey, this director wants some extras. And I said, and I told him, I said, Ryan, I've already had speaking roles. And
right.
and the difference between a speaking role and a background mm-hmm. is massive.
As far as
just being treated on set
sure.
and pay and right. everything.
Right.
And I said, I don't want to do extra work anymore.
Right.
Thank you. Really? He goes, okay, well, the director really wants extras that can act. Because you're going to be an integral part of that story. And it ended up being, he goes, I said, well, who's the director? And he said, Frank Darabont.
Oh, and that piqued your interest. You were like,
wait a minute. He directed The Green Mile.
Sure.
He directed Shawshank Redemption.
Absolutely.
I said, when do I show up?
Right.
And it was The Mist. And I ended up being on set for like a month.
Wow.
And it was the most exciting day was when I walked on set one morning and Frank looked up from Video Village and goes, hey, good morning, Mike.
Oh, wow. Like,
Frank Darabont knows my name.
Well, you know.
It was so cool.
You were
cool.
Like, Frank Darabont. You know what? There are no small parts. There are only small actors. And I'm going
of which
to,
I'm neither.
And I'm so. Going to take this on.
Tommy, thanks so much.
Oh, no problem.
Have a great
weekend.
It's
a pleasure being here.
Mike
you
McCarty,
well.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.